Fast forward to August. I'm sitting at this conference. I get this mic. There we go. I'm sitting at this conference, and this is how they started it. It was a conference for these church leaders, these pastors. These people are already pretty motivated. And they show this thing. And I tell you, I was moved. You know, especially in the electricity of that environment, you got all these, you think all the possibilities. And I'm just, tears are coming down my face. And thinking, that is the church. That is what I want to be a part of. You know, I don't want to be a part of something to just get together and we sing songs. And then we do a little lesson, you know. I want to be a part of this movement that throughout history has been making this kind of difference in our world. Christianity, it's like a seed. It's like a seed. It's like a lot of things, but it's like a seed. And when this seed takes root, oh, people can be changed. Nations can be changed. Cultures can be changed. Things can happen. Well, fast forward to a month after that conference. A month later, I'm sitting in another meeting with more church leaders. And this time, it's specifically pastors in covenant churches. In fact, the guy that heads this meeting up is right there, Mike Brown. Can you just wave? Mike's with the Northwest Conference. And once a month, he pulls together the people in this area who are starting new covenant churches or are trying to help some churches turn things around. And I'm at this meeting, and I tell you, I am quickly becoming a huge fan of this covenant denomination. Because the things that we're seeing are things like that. The stuff in this video. I'm not just saying this. This is what we're seeing. Once a month, I get together with these people and I get to see this group that looks more like a kingdom is supposed to look like. There's Jan, and she's a woman. And there's Terry and Ephraim, and they're African-American. And there's Javier, and he's Latino. And there's this guy, Sundin, and he's starting up this Laotian church. And some of us covenant pastors are even white males. You can believe that. Well, here I want to show you. Can we put up Isaiah 61:11? And guys, just heads up on the screen. We're going to whip through things so we can keep going today. All right, look at this. This is an oracle that came thousands and thousands of years ago. It said, for as the soil makes the sprout come up and a garden causes what? Seeds to grow. So the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. This was said thousands of years before this came to pass. All nations, not just Sweden and Norway. All nations. All nations. Well, here's where I'm going with this. A couple of weeks ago, at one of these meetings I was telling you about, Mike asked Javier to share his story. Javier. Well, Javier is this Latino guy, and he, at age 17, was smuggled into the U.S. with a, how does he say it? Coyote. He was smuggled in illegally. And his plan, as a 17-year-old, was to go to L.A. and be a gangbanger. Because he thought, hey, this is just cool, you know? So he wants to go be a gangbanger, all right? Well, Javier is at some place, and one of his friends or associates or something was cashing a check. And so he's just kind of waiting and waiting, and he looks into a trash can. And there in the trash can is the Gospel of John in Spanish. And for some reason, this guy that wants to be a gangbanger picks it up. And he brings it home. And he reads it. And he rereads it. And he rereads it. And on the back, people actually pray these things. On the back, there's this little prayer. And he prayed it. And God changed his life. He went from wanting to be a gangbanger, now he's a pastor in Monticello. If you can believe it, it's great. This works. It works. The seed is good. The seed is good. Christianity took root in Javier. It not only changed his life, but now God's using Javier to change the lives of others. I'm looking forward to hearing from Sundin next time. Sundin, the guy heading up to the Ocean Church, he spent 9 years in a communist prison. The seed took root. And even prison, a communist prison, couldn't undo what God was doing in his life. You guys, it is easy to rip. It is easy to rip your parents. It's easy to rip teachers. It's easy to rip your boss. And it's easy to rip Christianity. It's easy to rip what people have done in Jesus' name. And it's easy to rip things that you don't understand. But the seed itself is good. And if it takes root, it can change people. It can change things. It can make praise and righteousness spring up from all nations. You guys, that oracle, We just set up on the screen. It's coming to pass. This one small, obscure movement is now to just about every tongue, tribe, and nation. It's springing up among the rich and the poor, men and women, young and old, in times of prosperity, persecution. When this seed takes root, I'm telling you, miracles happen. Lives are changed. The lost can be found, the isolated and marginalized drawn in. The poor can find compassion, injustice can be overcome. Hope can be restored, walls and barriers get shattered. Gifts get discovered and deployed. Well, today when you're shaking hands, I don't know if you were attentive to the music that was playing. At the conference, they brought in this kid, kids choir, the African Children's Choir. It was so unbelievable. You should have seen these kids. They hit them up on stage, and they're all doing these dances and singing these songs. It was unbelievable. We'll play this again on the way out, but what was so cool is that these kids were from Uganda. And I don't know if you know a little bit about Uganda, but Uganda is a terrible place to grow up. The tourism industry in Uganda, you know, so many atrocities have been committed there. 150,000 orphans face starvation. But yet in these kids, this seed is springing up. And these kids are not walking around hopeless and depressed. These kids are jumping around and singing. There's so much joy. And they ask these kids, what do you want to do? And I want to be a teacher. I want to be a pastor. One of them, I want to be the prime minister. So tight. It was amazing to see. The seed is good. And you taste it. It's good. And you taste it. Well, in the Gospel of John, the one that Javier found in the trash can, the same one, there's this account of some powerful religious leaders. And they hear all this buzz about Jesus, okay? Powerful religious leaders, they hear all this buzz about this Jesus. And so they send their temple guards to arrest him. All right? So they send these temple guards to what? To Jesus? Rest. Okay, good. Just checking. To arrest him, all right? The guards go out in chapter 7, verse 32. They don't come back, though, until verse 45. And when they finally come back, they don't have Jesus. We've got a copy of the account. Can we put that up there? Right. Here's what happens, all right? Finally, the Bible says, finally, the temple guards went back to the chief priests, the Pharisees, who asked them, we sent you to arrest him. Why did you bring him in? And what did they say? They said, no one ever spoke the way this guy does. These are temple guards. They had a job. They come back without their prisoner. And they said, this guy, nobody speaks the way he does. And that's the truth. You guys, this is going to be fun. I'm going to have to condense it all down here because of time, but this is going to be fun. 3 weeks ago, what we did is we let the text pick us. Rather than say, okay, here's what we want to talk about. Let's go find a Bible verse that fits it. We took a scripture that someone said, hey, this is for you. Starting this new thing. We said, okay, we'll start with it. And we'll just see where it goes. And that was Exodus 33. And Exodus 33 led us to John 6. And that's where we're picking up this morning. And it's probably only a coincidence that this book is the same one that Javier found in the trash can. You know, if you stick around ECC, you're going to see a lot of coincidences like that. It's going to be fun. Well, if you have your Bibles, open them up to John chapter 6. And if you don't have your Bible, don't worry about it. We'll put the words up on the screen. But we think it's a great idea to bring them with you. Bring them with you, because then you can see it for yourself, you can mark it up, you can see the context, all that type of thing. All right, well, we don't have time to read all of John chapter 6, so let me just quick fill you in while you're opening it up on some of the context that leads into where we start, and we're going to start at verse 60. All right, it's Passover time, and Jesus has done some amazing miracles. He fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. People were like, that's amazing. He literally walks on water. Some of these miracles you hear about, they happen right here leading into what we're going to look at. And the people are blown away by this. In fact, the Bible says they wanted to make him a king by force, it said. They thought, this is incredible. Nobody does these things. This is just phenomenal. Okay, so all that's going on. And so the people are highly motivated. They think, this Jesus guy, there's nobody like him. We want to make you our king. And then instead of just kind of feeding that fire, Jesus gives us bizarre teaching about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And the people are like, what? He says, I came down from heaven. And they're like, what? We know your parents. It's in there. We know your parents. Come down from heaven. What are you talking about? Okay, so they start to get confused and they're grumbling. And this is where we pick up. Verse 60. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, Does this offend you? Then what will you see, or then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, this is why I told you, no one can come to me unless the Father enabled him. Look at verse 66. From this time, many of his disciples what? Turned back. And it's calling the disciples there. It's not just talking about the crowd. Many of the disciples, they turned back. They turned back. And no longer followed him. So Jesus asked the 12, you do not want to leave too, do you? Simon Peter answered him. Here's our punchline for today. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you're the Holy One, remember that phrase, of God. And then Jesus, instead of saying, all right, good answer, good answer, good answer, he goes, have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil. This gets confusing, doesn't it? And it doesn't seem to fit what we would say about building momentum. Well, if you have, you know, if you have, I won't call you the devil today, just in case you're wondering. If you're a note taker, why don't you pull up the green sheets and let's write some things down. Let's try to make some sense of this. Okay, first thing to write down, if you haven't already, is the seed is what? Good. The seed itself is good. It's good. And I wish we were in weekly service mode right now, because I could tell you a little bit more about how good it is. On the back of the sheet, where it says John chapter 6, for some of you who want to go deeper, you want to know more about the context, you'd like to reflect on these things, I put all kinds of stuff there. There is some amazing stuff going on in John chapter 6. All kinds of deep things. So I highlighted some of it for you. In John 6, in a quick summary, we're brought back to the time of Moses. We're brought back to the time of Moses. God was doing amazing things in the time of Moses, too. Delivering a nation out of slavery. Setting apart a people as his own. And leading them into this promised land. But those people, they too said, it is hard. It's hard to trust this God fully when we don't see the things that we were hoping to see and experience the things we were hoping to experience. They were quick to grumble and complain. Okay, well, fast forward. That was Moses. That's getting set up. Fast forward then from Moses to the time of Jesus. In the verses leading up to the passage that we just read, once again, there's all this grumbling and confusion. And again, how can you blame them? They knew his mommy and his daddy. So if you knew someone's mom and dad and they said, I've come down from heaven, what, you're going to be like, what? If you knew someone's mom and dad and they said, if you want eternal life, eat of my flesh, drink of my blood, you'd be like, this kid needs counseling and therapy to be locked up. You know, even though the seed is good, the seed can be hard to swallow. It can be hard to swallow, and that's the next thing. If you're taking notes, write that down. The seed can be hard to swallow. You guys, cookies are easy to swallow. Cookies taste good. Cookies are easy to swallow. You take a seed to make a cookie, and you smash it up, and you take out all the stuff that you don't want to eat, or that doesn't taste good, or that messes with your mouth. You grind it up, you throw in lots of flavoring, and then you get a cookie. You got a cookie. This is really interesting. I haven't bought Runner's World in probably, I don't know, 7 or 8 years, okay? Well, again, coincidentally, I bought one. And just recently, it's the most recent issue. And they said on the cover here, this is their biggest nutritional issue ever, okay? So in the biggest nutritional issue ever, what is rule number one? Right there. Can you read it, Becky? What's rule number one? Right here.
Eat seeds
or foods made from seeds. There you go. Rule number one. The seeds are good for you. They're hard to swallow, but they're good for you. They're good for you. I went out and bought some. It's hard to find wheat seeds, by the way. Especially don't know when they're called wheat berries. I guess I should know that. All right. Well, these things, to chew on those probably would not be a lot of fun. All right? To just chew on them. But they're good for you. Well, rule number one is eat seeds, and don't just eat ones that are super processed. Seeds have great health-producing potential in a natural state. But if you process them too much, if you take out the stuff that doesn't taste good, take out the stuff that's hard to swallow, seeds aren't as good for you. People never do that with Christianity, though, do they? The Bible refers to wheat seeds. That's why I picked up those. And what do they say about analogies, or what do we say around here about analogies that God gives? Well, if he's the creator of the object, and he's the creator of the analogy, Probably a good one, right? Okay, so wheat, think about this. I got these stats from Mike. Wheat is the number one crop worldwide. So almost every culture is going to get this. And seeds have amazing potential. Those who study things like this say there's a statistical probability that if a single shaft of wheat is left undamaged for 8 years, all right, you got one shaft of wheat, don't mess with it for 8 years, give it a lot of land. If you do that for 8 years, just one shaft of wheat can multiply into a crop large enough to feed the entire world for an entire year. That's the example we've got. Man. Okay, plant a cookie in the ground. What do you get? You get a soggy, gross cookie instead of this. I think we also got a picture of a sequoia. Take a sequoia seed, and what do you get? Those little blue dots? Those are people. Plant a cookie. What do you get? Cookies taste better. They're easier to swallow. Look what you can get from a seed. Okay, back to John. Back to John chapter 6. Again, you consider the audience. You can understand this is going to be hard to swallow. I mean, these people were poor. The Galilee area where Jesus is talking, it was a very poor area. You got peasants, subsistence farmers, fishermen. They were taxed heavily, and frequently they lost their land or even their own freedom to the wealthy elite, okay? So here comes Jesus into that, and Jesus is the healer, and Jesus is the food multiplier, and Jesus is speaking these incredible words. This is exactly the Jesus they were hoping for. They're like, this Jesus, we're all about this Jesus. Easy to swallow. I'll take the cookie. It's good. All right? You know, isn't there some of that in us today when it comes to God? There's parts of Him we really, really like. But don't we wish God would sometimes prove He exists in ways that we think would prove He exists? I mean, I do at times. Don't we wish that God would fix up our messes the way we would like Him to fix up our messes? Don't we wish God would change certain people the way we wish He would change certain people? Don't we wish that God would give the Vikings a good offense and a good defense on the same season? Especially on Packers week, right? Oh, you guys, I wish we had a budget. But we're working on that. But I wish we had a budget to have given you little frosted cookie Jesuses, you know, and pass those all out, and you could hold one without leaving any crumbs on the floor, and then seeds in each hand. I wish you could do that, and you could just see, you know, the difference. Frosted cookie Jesus and the seeds. What we want, what we think we want, versus what is. Authentic shell-on Christianity, it is sometimes hard to swallow. It is sometimes confusing. It is sometimes confrontive. And it's sometimes convicting. Last time we got together, we looked at Exodus 33. I said, hey, if you want to see something, look at Exodus 32. If you would have done that, look at this passage you would have come across. You tell me this isn't hard to swallow, okay? He said to them, this is Moses speaking. This is what who? The Lord. Okay, this is what God said, not a mistake people made. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Each man, this is after the Israelites just blew it. They made this golden calf and all this stuff. He said, each man strap on a sword to his side. Go back and forth through the camp from one end to another. Do what? Each killing who? His brother and friend and neighbor. The Levites did as Moses commanded. And on that day, about 3,000 people died. And look at this. Then what does Moses say? You've been set apart for the Lord today. For you are against your own sons and brothers. He's blessed you. I know that there's a bunch of you right now are going to email me. Oh, but you don't know the gravity of sin. You don't. Hey, save the email, because if you can't, if this is easy for you to swallow, if you can intellectualize this thing away, man, you got to wrestle with this. This should not be easy to swallow. It should not be easy to swallow. This is a hard word. This is God Almighty commanding us. Fast forward, January 8th, 1956. Anyone heard of a guy named Jim Elliot? Some of you have. This guy felt called by God to be a missionary to Ecuador. And then he is brutally killed by the people he felt called to serve. And he left behind a widow and a kid. This was the only way. Fast forward, June 20th of this year. Anyone heard of Shane Claiborne in the Simple Way community? Okay, great people, great intentions. These guys decided, hey, we could live about anywhere we want. We could be successful about any field. We feel called to the city. So they go to the poorest suburb in, or the poorest area in Pennsylvania. The number one source of income is drugs. Number one is welfare. Number two is drugs. This is how poor this area is. Okay? So they go to the poorest area. They're trying to do God's will. And did you guys hear about this? The fire? This summer in June, a fire swept through that whole area. It was a devastating fire. A 7-alarm blaze. 400 homes were evacuated. It took 170 firefighters 48 hours to put the fire out. It destroyed their entire block. And I can picture these people saying, God, wasn't it you who called us to this? What is going on? You say you're a father. We're your sons and daughters. I would not do this to my son or my daughter. What is going on? The seed can be hard to swallow. I've been there. Jesus is a hard teaching. Jesus is hard to swallow. If you find God sometimes confusing, you found a home here. Along with biblical greats, who also found God confusing. Read the scripture. Moses found God confusing sometimes. Abraham did. Mary did. Sarah did. Elijah the prophet did. John the Baptist. We could go on and on and on. God-honoring people sometimes find the truth hard to swallow. In fact, look at how Paul refers to church leaders. We put up the 1 Corinthians. I love this wording. He calls people like me stewards of the what? Mysteries of God. Not people who have it all together and all figured out, we just tell you how it is. We're stewards of the mysteries of God. And sometimes those mysteries are hard to swallow. Read all of John 6. I encourage you to do it. Jesus, sometimes he answers questions with what? More questions, you know? And there's that whole thing I told you about. Peter finally says something good. He says, hey, I believe you're the Holy One of God. Where else are you going to go? And says, hey, good answer, good answer, good answer. He says, one of you is a devil. It's like, oh. God doesn't always play by our terms. He doesn't always play by our rules. And if we're honest, many of us, if not all of us, if we're honest, sometimes we just want to walk away. We just want to walk away. We can get this honest in church, right? Right? Okay, we have to. I think we have to. If you pursue God honestly, there's going to be times where part of you, not the whole part of you wants to walk away. In fact, look at Peter's confession. I find this, I admire the honesty here. If we can look at John 6, there we go. Look at this. From this time, many of the followers turned back and no longer followed him. Jesus says, you do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus says, well, now look at the honesty in his answer. If we can hit the next one. Do you have, there we go. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom should we go? Where else are we going to go? You got the words of eternal life. Peter did not say, oh, are you kidding me, Jesus? This is the best ever. You know, he didn't say that. He didn't say, hey, we're in. Nobody else can give us the 5,000, feed 5,000 out of 5 loaves and 2 fish. No one else can walk on water. Only you can bless me with health and wealth. That's not what he says. Peter's like, where else are we going to go? We don't get it all the time. Now I'm adding my own words. We don't get it all the time. This is hard. But you've got it. You got the words of eternal life. Seed's hard to swallow, but it's good. Have a taste of it. Peter uses an interesting phrase in verse 69. He calls, here we're coming back to that thing. He calls Jesus the Holy One. All right, I want you to do something for me. If you just elbow the person next to me, not too hard. Just elbow and say, hey, you got to listen to this, okay? Just, I'm serious. Okay, got to make sure everybody's with me now, okay? All right, okay. Here we go. All right, look at this. Okay, he uses the phrase Holy One, right? The Holy One, if you look in the Old Testament, you find it all over the place. It's used like 50 times in the Old Testament. And it's referring to God and sometimes this promised one who's going to come. But you go to the Old Testament, you can find Holy One all over the place. But in the New Testament, you only find it a couple. There's twice that John uses it. One of the times was here. In the book of Acts, it's used twice, but they're referring to the Old Testament. Here are the only other times the phrase Holy One is used in the entire New Testament, at least what I could find. Here they are. Those of you who are Bible scholars in our midst, what type of beings are saying these words? demons, so fallen angels, and fallen angels and Luke 1:30-5, and just regular angels. Okay, the only ones using this phrase are angels and fallen angels. That is very interesting to me, because there is something going on here in this person of Jesus. Something is going on. And the angels and the fallen angels, they've got eyes to see it. These supernatural beings, they have eyes to see it. And we want to lock on to that something here at ECC. The Holy One is among us. How many times you hear Jesus? He says, for those who have eyes to see, those who have ears to hear, I'm starting to get that. The angels have eyes to see. The angels have ears to hear. And those of us who have eyes to see and ears to hear, there's a good seed. It has the power to change your life. Isn't there something in you that knows that? Isn't there something in you that, if you're honest, it's easier to dismiss other religions than Christianity? And it goes deeper than the way you were brought up. And there's something in you that it's easier to dismiss other religious people than it is to dismiss Jesus. Even though there's things you don't understand, don't seem to be like his, it's harder to dismiss those. Well, how does that grow? How does it grow? How does it take root? Here's what the Word of God says. John chapter 7, here's one place. It says, anyone who what? Chooses to do the will of God. Those who dive in, they take the seed, they begin to see this is the truth. This is the way. There's certainly a God part to the whole growing of the seed. Yes, the farmer scatters the seed night and day. The seed grows all by itself, eventually producing other seeds. The Word says that. Is the transformation the work of God? Yes. The Bible also says this. Can we also put up Mark chapter 6, verses 5 through 6? Jesus, look at this. He says, Jesus couldn't do any miracles there. He was surprised, it says, at the lack of faith. Okay, as I'm wrapping things up, this is going to sound kind of confrontive, maybe convicting to you, but I want you to hear this. If Christianity isn't working for you, it might not be the seed. It might be the soil. And that's the last point, if you want to write that down. The seed is good. Well, how about your soil? Because it's both of these things working together. This is huge. You know, nice 3-point sermons would be a lot easier for all of us, you know? If I just got up here, and here's a nice little teaching for today, and here's some fun illustrations, and we all laugh and feel good, and we have, you know, 3 easy things you can take home and do, and our lives will be best. You know, that would be great. You're not going to get that here. Some days will be less hard than others, but man, on October 21st, November 11th, we're going to chew on the seeds. We're going to chew on the seeds, and so much is going to come back to this soil piece. And the reason we're going to do that is because I don't have to just look at the DVD to tell you that this works. I don't have to just use stories from Javier. I can tell you firsthand, the seed is good, and it works. I didn't want to swallow the part about giving God my career, but now I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I didn't want to swallow the part about abstinence before marriage. As I look out and see father-in-law and mother-in-law in the audience, I'm glad I can say I did, you know. And our marriage is so much better because of it. I sometimes don't like chewing on passages that speak to my personal responsibility when it comes to issues of justice and compassion. But I can tell you this, I'm never more alive than when I'm with those kids at Emmanuel Children's Home. The seed is good. There's none other like it. No one else has these words of life. For God so loved the world, he gave us his written word. And he sent his one and only Son. And if you can receive this sometimes confusing, sometimes confrontive truth, it can change your life. One last scripture. 1 Peter 1:23. For you have been born again. Not of what? Perishable seed, but of imperishable. The living word, enduring word of God. Worship team is going to come forward in just a minute here. And before they go, I want to pray. Is this a reality in your life? It can be. It can be. So let's pray to that end. The worship team will lead us after that. Let's pray. God, we need you right now because there's so much left unsaid here. You know, we did the best we could with the time we had, but we need you, your Spirit, to come among us, God. And we pray that we could receive the whole thing. as much at least as you can give us right now. Lord, help us not to dismiss things that you might be saying to us. I feel like I'm supposed to just pause for a minute while we're praying and pray specifically for somebody or some people who have this thing gnawing at them that they know is right, but they just don't want to deal with it. Deal with it. Okay, God, help them to deal with it. Help us all to deal with it. Lord, help us to receive you, all of you, everything you have to say. God, take this moment. Make it a holy moment for us, God, we pray. In Jesus' name.